Hello and welcome to the podcast edition of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf, your source for news, reviews, previews, and interviews with authors and artists on books, movies, DVDs, collectibles, pretty much anything to do with the national pastime. If it fits on a bookshelf, it fits here. The first celebrity interview I ever did was with Sparky Anderson. I got my freelance start doing book reviews, which led to author interviews, which led me to Anderson, who had just come out with They Call Me Sparky in 1998. As one might expect, in the presence of such greatness, I was a bit nervous, but he couldn't have been nicer or more generous with his time. At one point, he remarked that he thought small market media writers and broadcasters should get the same consideration as those from major markets. Dan Ewald, who was co-author on that book, as well as Sparky and Bless You Boys, The Diary of the Detroit Tigers' 1984 Season, has just published Sparky and Me, My Friendship with Sparky Anderson and the Lessons He Shared About Baseball and Life. It's a touching memoir that reinforces my limited experience with the Hall of Fame manager, who died in November 2010. We all would be blessed to have one special friend in our lives like Sparky. I spoke with Ewald recently about their relationship and the challenges of writing such a personal account.
Dan Ewald, welcome to the Baseball Bookshelf.
Thank you very much for hosting me, Ron.
Why did you decide to write this book?
Well, I didn't have an original plan to write this book. It kind of evolved out of the situation that occurred in October of 2010. Sparky and I have been best friends for 32 years, and we shared everything between us, our homes, our families, our happinesses, our sadnesses. And what happened is he was ill, and I was planning to go out there about a month later than I actually did, and Carol, his wife, called and said, "Dan, you better come on out because he may not have that long to go." What happened is I immediately got out there, and I had 3 days with him. And we just sat at the table, Ron, and just spoke and spoke and spoke about our old times together, from baseball to personal things. And it was a beautiful experience, sad but beautiful. And when I came home, and after he did die on November the 4th, I started jotting down some of the stories we talked about. And I was doing it more for therapy for myself than anything else. And then I was just struck with the idea that I wanted to share my best friend with everybody because he was that strong of a person. And so I kept writing, and St. Martin's Press was interested in it, and that's how it happened.
Well, was Sparky aware of his situation at that point?
Yes. What happened, Ron, is he had been slowly going down for a while, and he suffered from dementia, and I had a good friend who was a physician, and I wanted to find out a little bit more about dementia. And in a nutshell, he explained what dementia does. It affects people in different ways. And in Sparky's case, the brain waves, whatever the medical term is, sometimes don't get to the other parts of your body. And what happened in Sparky's case is he just quit eating, and that created complications, obviously.
So you didn't know at the time that you'd be writing a book, so obviously he didn't know at the time that you would be doing this.
No. This came about, just as I said, it was somewhat of it evolved.
Well, what do you think he would have thought about it?
I've been asked that question before, and I can answer it in a couple of ways. Number one, he would have been happy with it because, first of all, everything in there is the truth, number one. And number two, he enjoyed his life. He didn't go back and second-guess himself. And we talked about happy times and some sad times and so forth. When I gave the book to Carol to read, Carol is his widow, she called me up afterwards when I got home after giving it to her. And she said, you know, it made her sad in a way because she felt that this was that he was captured for the real person that he was, and that he's no longer here, and she felt sad about it. So I'm glad at least she felt good, though, that this was her husband for all those years.
Yeah, this is obviously a very personal situation for you, compared with some of the other books you might have done over the years. Was it difficult for you to do this, or did it come easily?
Well, probably a little of both. You know, writing the actual situations that I described that he and I shared, that was the easy part. But then kind of examining them and interpreting them got a little tough for me, because it made me sad that he was not here any longer. And I would write at all different times, sometimes during the day, sometimes at night, sometimes in the middle of the night. And when I got to a part that became too difficult, I would stop. And then I'd go away, walk away until either later in the day or the next morning.
The anecdotes are universally positive and uplifting, but surely Sparky wasn't a saint. You know, there must have been something that even in the best of friendships must have cropped up from time to time.
Oh, there's no question, Ron, and that's a good observation. And I hope people don't think that I was trying to anoint him. When you have a relationship like we had for 32 years, you're going to have, just like any marriage, for instance, you're going to have differences of opinion. Sometimes our shortcomings were identical. Sometimes he got stubborn, sometimes I got stubborn. And when either of us got stubborn with the other, we kind of, let each other know. And it has a way of working out, just like it does in a marriage. We may have been upset with each other at times, but we were upset at each other for the right reasons. We thought that our position was right. I tried my best in handling his professional life to do my best for him. And if he didn't like something, he would tell me, and I'd say, well, George, you know, you got to look at the bigger picture. And we go back and forth on that. And so you're right. It wasn't, there were differences of opinion.
What was the difference in your age?
I'm 67 years old, and Sparky would have been, he was 11 years older than me.
So that's almost like a big brother type situation. Did that have any effect on the relationship?
It probably did, and I often wondered, you know, why we clicked, and we clicked very quickly after he came to Detroit. I often wondered exactly what was it. You know, he wasn't old enough to be a father figure to me. He was more of a big brother, and, you know, brothers have tendencies to, like I said, get into differences of opinion, but then we made up. I mean, there was never any, long arguments. You know, we spoke our minds freely because we knew we had that gift of being able to speak freely to each other.
That's very, very special. Your book has been compared to Mitch Albom's Tuesdays with Maury. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, Mitch Albom is a terrific writer. And he's a friend of mine. He lives here in the Detroit area. In fact, I just saw him a couple of weeks ago. And so I'm honored, but it's not for me to say it's a Tuesdays with Maury. I can see why people have made comparisons, because it is learning from a wise person and then trying to take the wisdom that he was gracious enough to share with me and put it into practice. And that's really the premise of Tuesdays with Maury also. But I'm certainly not prepared to say I can compare myself to Mitch Albom. He's a very good writer.
Now, part of the process of being an author these days is you have to go into the book tour circuit. Do you enjoy that?
You know what I enjoy, Ron? I enjoy looking at the faces and listening to the voices of the people who come up and want a signature on the book. First of all, you know, I spent my career in newspapers and baseball with the Detroit Tigers. And, you know, so I saw a lot of people asking players and managers and coaches for autographs and so forth. I feel awkward when someone wants my autograph on a book. I feel proud, but it's kind of still strange to me. And I enjoy listening to them and asking them, well, you know, what do you like about Sparky? I get as much out of it as they do.
I'm sure there are a lot of people who want to share their own anecdotes with you about a time they might have met him or something he had done that influenced them greatly.
You're right. I run into that all the time, Ron. And you know what? It seems like everybody who comes up, and not everybody, but it seems like it, has a little story about Sparky, about either meeting him or getting a note from him or him waving at them. Sparky took a lot of time with fans. He enjoyed, he always said, you know, you can't really be a big person if you aren't willing to touch people and allow yourself to be touched by them. And he wasn't talking touching in the sense of skin on skin. You know what I mean. Touching each other's feelings, spirit, that sort of thing. Sparky enjoyed that, and he enjoyed it more with the average working man than he did even with all the celebrities that, you know, he knew. He enjoyed the average, everyday person.
That's one thing that really comes out in the book, in that he did not think much of celebrity status. He always had time for the small market media. He felt that they were entitled to the same courtesy and respect that someone from the New York Times or Network News would be.
No question about it. He always said, you know, pertaining to the media, you know, if a writer from a weekly, from anywhere, wherever we were in the country at the time, asked him a question, that writer would get the same response as somebody from the New York Times. And he always used to say, well, what's the difference? This guy's got a job to do. Does the guy from the Times know more words than this other guy? No. You know, so he took a lot of time. But he enjoyed it. That's one of the things of all the players I dealt with in my career. Fortunately, we always had good players, you know, to deal with at the Tigers. But sometimes, you know, they would get tired of dealing with people and would kind of shy away and walk away. Sparky never did that. Sparky really felt he owed this to the people who made his life so special.
Now, you've written several books over the years, so I'm guessing you enjoy the writing. How has the process changed over the years for you?
Well, I started off as a newspaper writer. I started off as a copy boy, Ron. I don't even know if they have copy boys at newspapers anymore, but I started off as a copy boy at the Free Press in the sports department, and I loved it because I was still going to school at the time, and the bug really bit me, and I wanted to be a baseball writer, which I did end up covering the Tigers, not for the Free Press, but for the Detroit News. And then after that, I got into the public relations department for the Tigers. It's changed. The business, I believe, has changed in the fact that electronically and technologically, we have gone so far so quickly that sometimes I'm concerned that our morals or our values aren't at jeopardy. We have the technology, but sometimes, because it works so almost instantaneously, we lose track of the power that we have to affect people's lives, and that concerns me a little bit.
And as far as you specifically, your process for writing your book?
Well, I...
Some people will actually, some of the older gentlemen and women with whom I've spoken about writing their books, you know, they will still take out a legal pad and jot things down in pen and longhand before they, you know, head to the computer. You know, what do you do?
And I respect that. You know, I respect the writer for however it works for that particular writer. I think that's great. I do all of my thinking now on a computer. And it was tough for me, Ron, to convert to a computer because I spent all those years with a typewriter. But now I feel so comfortable at a computer, and I think better at a computer. And I know I can, I'm not a computer expert, but I know I can go in and change a copy. I do a lot of rewriting. Some guys will go and take a story, whether it's you know, a recount of a baseball game or a book or whatever they happen to be working on, and they write all the way through. I can't do that. I go back and rewrite chapters as I'm going along. And it's just something I got into. And I try sometimes to break my habit. I try sometimes say to myself, go 5-6 chapters, then go back and rewrite. I always end up after a chapter going back and rewriting.
Are you working on anything now?
I'm working on something right now. And it's really a dream of mine. It's not anything concrete right now, but I have written several chapters of a fictional book that I'm interested in, because it has to deal with some of the stuff that happened in my life. Certainly not, it's not a sports book, but I'm enjoying it. It's a freedom.
I think there is a lot of, I'll almost say, crossover envy, people who, especially for people who write nonfiction, that they want to take that shot at doing a novel, and I wish you lots of luck with that.
Well, thank you, Ron. Like I said, I don't fool myself into thinking I've got the secret to doing it, but I'm working hard at it. And so if I get beat, it won't be beat because I didn't try.
We've been talking with Dan Ewald, author of Sparky and Me, My Friendship with Sparky Anderson, and the lessons he shared about baseball and life. Dan, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron. I enjoyed speaking to you.
And that was the Bookshelf Conversation with Dan Ewald, author of a new book on his relationship with his friend Sparky Anderson. I did a review of the book, which appears on bookreporter.com, and I will link to that on the blog. Just a bit of news about what's coming up in the near future. We have interviews with Dave Anderson, editor of a new book on the Yankees, the New York Times Story of the Yankees, which is almost 390 essays, articles, and profiles about the team from 1903 to the present day. We also have an interview with Wayne Coffey, who co-wrote R.A. Dickey's memoir, Wherever I Wind Up, My Quest for Truth, Authenticity, and the Perfect Knuckleball, and Paul Stoudauer, editor of Baseball's Best Short Stories, a new collection, not new actually, it's an updated collection of fiction from down through the ages. A reminder, we enjoy your comments and questions, so please drop us a line at ron@ronkaplansbaseballbookshelf.com and check back frequently. I'm always updating the site. Finally, one bit of news about my own book, 501 Baseball Books the Literate Fan Must Read, will be coming out next spring, that's spring of 2013, from the University of Nebraska Press. I just completed the first round of edits, and I look forward to seeing what's coming next. So again, thanks for listening, thanks for visiting, and see you next time.
Look out, Gabe, here it comes.